ACT Radio is taped and produced at the KTEP studios at the University of Texas at El Paso. The views and opinions expressed on ACT Radio are solely those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KTEP, its staff, or management.
Welcome to ACT Radio, Animal Concerns of Texas. I'm Greg Lawson.
I'm Tom Linney.
And I'm Liz Walsh.
Here on ACT, we discuss how we humans relate to other animals.
We talk about how we use them for food, clothing, and entertainment, and how there are humane alternatives to these practices.
We also discuss why a plant-based diet is not only the best choice that we humans can make for our own health, but it's the best choice we can make for the health of our environment.
So if you're concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about the way animals are treated, if you're concerned about your health, stay with us for Animal Concerns of Texas. Coming up on today's show, we feature a conversation with Steve Hendy, the founder and president of SHARC, Showing Animals Respect and Kindness. That's coming up a little later on the show, but first some news.
From Fayetteville, North Carolina, Cumberland County District Court Judge Kimbrell Tucker, in a lawsuit brought by concerned North Carolina citizens represented by PETA, the Animal Legal Defense Fund, and local council, has signed a permanent injunction that allows a bear named Ben, who had been confined to a barren concrete cage at Fayetteville-based roadside zoo Jambus Ranch Tours for 6 years, to reside permanently at the Performing Animal Welfare Society, or PAWS, sanctuary in California, where he can forage, swim, and build his den under trees. Ben lived in solitary confinement at Jambus Ranch, which caused him to suffer physically and psychologically. He was denied everything that is natural and important to bears. Judge Tucker entered a permanent injunction that ended Jambus's ownership of Ben and awarded permanent ownership and custody to PAWS. Ben was flown to California via FedEx climate-controlled plane on August 9th after Judge Tucker issued a preliminary injunction. The permanent injunction also forbids Jambus from acquiring, owning, or possessing any bears in the future, seeking any state wildlife captivity license or endangered species permits related to owning or possessing any bears, and using Ben's former concrete cage as the primary enclosure for any wild or exotic animal. At the PAWS sanctuary, Ben is thriving in a vast natural habitat, one that is measured in acres, not feet and inches, where he bathes in his own pool, rubs his back on trees, and sleeps soundly in his large straw nest under oak trees. You can see video of Ben at aldf.org.
The Center for Biological Diversity reports that the Obama administration gave Shell Oil the initial approval to begin controversial and dangerous oil drilling in the Arctic Ocean off the coast of Alaska, despite the fact that a critical oil spill containment vessel is still awaiting certification in Washington. Until now, the Arctic Ocean has been largely off-limits to offshore drilling. Shell Oil is expected to begin the initial phases of exploratory drilling in Alaska as soon as it can get its drill ship in place in the heart of habitat critical to the survival of polar bears. According to the Alaska director of the Center for Biological Diversity, Rebecca Noblin, by opening the Arctic to offshore drilling, President Obama has made a monumental mistake that puts human life, wildlife, and the environment in terrible danger. The harsh and frozen conditions of the Arctic make drilling risky, and an oil spill would be impossible to clean up. Scariest of all, the Obama administration is allowing Shell to go forward without even having the promised oil spill containment equipment in place. So far in 2012, a series of blunders and broken promises have prevented Shell from moving forward with its aggressive drilling plans. Last month, the company announced that it could not comply with its air pollution permits and asked the EPA to waive Clean Air Act requirements. Days later, its drillship, Noble Discoverer, slipped its mooring into Dutch Harbor, Alaska, and drifted dangerously close to shore. Right now, Shell's oil spill containment vessel, which was supposed to be on site for any drilling, is still stuck in Washington State. More than 1 million people have sent President Obama messages asking him to save the Arctic from drilling. To learn more and to add your voice for preserving Arctic wildlife, go to biologicaldiversity.org.
Some of Asia's most magnificent animals are at a crossroads and may not survive if steps are not taken to save them. An environmental group announced last week at the World Conservation Congress in Korea. The Wildlife Conservation Society released a list of animals in danger of extinction, including tigers, orangutans, Mekong giant catfish, Asian rhinos, Asian giant river turtles, and Asian vultures. The group said the problem could be solved by following the three R's approach: recognition, responsibility, and recovery. The Wildlife Conservation Society pointed out that a good example of a species saved from the brink of extinction is the American bison. In this case, the animal's imminent demise was recognized. Responsibility for its survival was taken by conservationists, and it has recovered somewhat. But if this approach is not followed, Asian animals on the list could go the way of the American passenger pigeon and die off. Each Asian species on the list faces daunting challenges from a variety of factors, including habitat loss and illegal hunting and trade. Nevertheless, the group said it believed that Asian governments have the ability and financial means to prevent these species from going extinct. The tiger may be on the road to recovery, since India has taken some steps to protect tigers. Orangutans face a bleaker future with widespread conversion of its habitat into palm oil plantations, reducing wild populations. Asian rhinos and giant river turtles face relentless poaching in the illegal wildlife trade, while Asian vultures have been nearly wiped out due to poisoning. Mekong giant catfish numbers have also plummeted due to overfishing. The Wildlife Conservation Society warned that time is running out. Two large mammal species in Asia have recently gone extinct, including the kupri, a type of wild cattle found in Southeast Asia, and the baiji, a species of Chinese freshwater dolphin. Stick around. Coming up next on ACT Radio, we feature a conversation with Steve Hendy, the founder and president of SHARC, Showing Animals Respect and Kindness. SHARC has been documenting and exposing pigeon hunts, rodeos, hunting, bullfights, government deer kills, and other forms of animal abuse since it was founded in 1993. With almost 300 videos uploaded on YouTube and over 20 million views, SHARC is the ninth most viewed nonprofit on YouTube. Our conversation with Steve is coming up next. Joining us now on ACT Radio, Steve Hendy. Thank you for being with us on the show, Steve.
Good to be here.
Thanks for being with us, Steve. Could we start out by having you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got involved in animal issues?
Well, way back, I was a hunter and a fisherman. In fact, I did that from about the age of 4 or 5 for the next 30 years. I was hunting and fishing, and mainly my real love was fishing. I started that as I was being raised in Minnesota. We have a lot of lakes there. And then I moved to Illinois and started fishing for trout and salmon on the Great Lakes because they were bigger. And then finally I started fishing in the ocean. I bought a boat that was fit for the ocean and started fishing there because I really had a love of shark fishing, of all things. And it was on my way to one of those times where my boat was moored off of Montauk Point on Long Island, New York. And you go right through Pennsylvania, and I had heard about an event called the Higgins Pigeon Shoot. What had been written about it sounded so bad and sounded so against everything that I and other hunters claimed to stand for that I stopped to see it. And the article that I read was written by a fellow named Don Barnes, a very good writer. And the things he wrote were just unbelievable about young children loading up traps, what are called traps. They're actually small boxes about the size of a shoebox, each one with a live pigeon. There's a row of them in front of a guy with a shotgun, and he yells, "Pull," and one of the pigeons are literally catapulted out of the box, and he shoots it. This happens over and over, and then after five pigeons have been shot at, the kids would go out there and pick them up. And I'm reading this, and the pigeons aren't dead, and they're pulling their heads off, and they're stomping on them. And I'm going, this does not happen. Certainly in the United States, it just doesn't happen. It wouldn't be allowed. I'm going to go and disprove this. And so I did. That's what I went for, to show that this was just propaganda nonsense from the animal rights wackos. And I got there and actually spoke to some of the animal people, and they were reasonably friendly. I mean, I wasn't hostile to them, and they were not hostile to me. I was there before this thing started, and I saw that indeed were these rows of boxes. And I started getting this really weird feeling in my gut that there must be something to this. And there were state police all over the place, and there were lots and lots of people on the pro-shoot side, and they were thugs. I mean, they were just very thuggish. And then the time came, and by God, those pigeons started getting catapulted out of those boxes and blasted away by these, what in hunting we called slob shooters. We didn't even want to call them hunters, but here were dozens of them, hundreds of them, and thousands of people who were cheering on these thugs. It was unbelievable. I stood there at first in just shocked silence. And the reality of it was that Mr. Barnes' article, which I was so certain was completely overwritten and overdone and overdramatized, didn't even do justice to the horror of what this thing was. This thing, this mass slaughter that involved young children. I remember one kid that was so little that he couldn't talk yet. He had to hold the pigeons up above his shoulders so that they wouldn't drag on the ground. This is how small this kid was. And what I was in too much shock to even realize was that as I was standing there over the next few hours, my life was being transformed. And after that, I went on to Long Island. I went to my boat. I killed animals. In fact, I remember it being, you know, what should have been a great trip. And yet, there was nothing great about it. I wasn't eating, really. I was just kind of like going through the motions, and I really couldn't figure it out. I didn't understand. I knew this had to stop. I mean, it was unbelievable. The state police were there, like I said, and a lot of them, and they were there to protect the shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And to this very day, they are there to protect the shoots, because there are a number of them going on in Pennsylvania. And I wanted to stop this, and then I wanted to go on with hunting. I was certain that I'd be able to bring my brothers and sisters in hunting and fishing together, and that we, if necessary, would go the next year and would physically take those guns away. We were going to stand for what we believed in. And a year later, I was there, and my posse of hunting and fishing brothers and sisters were composed of one extra person, my brother. But in that time, I had worked out alliances with the animal protection people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was on my way home that I had to really, you know, I just had to take a good hard look at things. And I remember almost specifically the place in the road in Ohio where I said, I'm done. I'm through with this. I've switched sides. And because I remember at that first shoot, having a conversation with one particular guy who was on the pro-shoot side. And I'm saying, you know, hunters are under such pressure. This was 22 years ago now, 23 years ago. I said, hunters are under such public relations pressure, you know. People want to call us killers and all this kind of stuff. You guys are playing right into that. I said, how can you be doing this to all of us? And he said, so you hunt and fish? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, you're no different than us. Don't kid yourself. And at that time, I said, I am different than you. I have nothing to do with you. But a year later, especially after my hunting and fishing brothers and sisters did not want to lift one single finger to do anything about this, which was a violation of every hunting ethic that's ever mm-hmm. been conceived, I said, you know what? I've been living a lie. I've been living a dream here, and which is a nightmare for the animals, and I'm not going to do it anymore. It was a little bit like that moment in The Matrix where the guy finds out that he's been living in a tube and that the real world looks a whole lot different. And you know what? It has looked a whole lot different ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still go out to Pennsylvania and I still watch the Pennsylvania State Police doing everything they can, bending over backwards and tying themselves in pretzels to look past the crimes that are committed against not only the animals but the animal activists. I mean, in the last year, we had a loaded gun drawn on us on a public street in broad daylight, which was clearly video documented, as well as a hit and run with a vehicle that the guy purposely ran into me at a pretty good speed. I don't know how I wasn't, if not killed, seriously injured. And the other things that have gone on, I mean, the assaults, open assaults, where they'll give them maybe a, you know, the equivalent of a parking ticket. The guy who did a hit and run on me never even had to go to court. The guy who pulled a loaded gun, although that was in the town of Warminster, that wasn't the state police, that was the Warminster police, who were actually good buddies, as we proved with video documentation in the courtrooms on two different occasions. That guy had the equivalency of parking tickets, and which they then dropped even further. Meanwhile, they brought more charges against me because I gave him a good hard push after he had assaulted my girlfriend, and it was the push that prompted the gun pulling.
Well, I know when I was looking up to prepare for the show, I went on the internet and I put in your name, and the first page that came up was Steve Hindy, ex-hunter and convicted criminal. And then after that, it said animal rights activists, thugs promoting narcissism, intimidation, ignorant, and harassment. So it does seem like there's some people out there that have targeted you. And on the same page, it lists you in the company of people like Adolf Hitler.
Oh, gosh.
That is a rodeo person that put that up, and they put it up after we exposed their rodeo.
Uh-huh.
Their rodeo had it's in the Rowell Ranch Rodeo, because we get quite a kick out of that site ourselves, I got to tell you. And the Rowell Ranch Rodeo people put up the site after we exposed the horses being shocked at their rodeo. They were very upset. Not with the shocking that was going on, but because we exposed it. And so they put up this site, and yes, they make these claims. Now, we have open challenges to rodeo people, as well as to the National Rifle Association, which is a strong supporter of these shoots in Pennsylvania. In fact, I can tell you 100% these shoots would have been banned decades ago, but for the National Rifle Association using its intimidation and its influence on legislators in Pennsylvania. And, of course, you know, those legislators have all the dignity and backbone of crack addicts,
yeah,
with the NRA being the crack dealer, giving out the intimidation and the money and the, you know, all this kind of thing.
Steve, this is just so hard to believe, because I've read the statistics that most people don't want to see cruelty to animals. So how could so many people participate and support the pigeon shoots? Why hasn't there been some sort of public initiative to get them banned in Pennsylvania?
There is a public initiative every single year. Every single year, a bill comes up, and that bill is struck down by the NRA and its lobbyist, John Hohenwarter, who will then brag that they knocked it down again. The NRA is very open about this. What's interesting is we've started putting out, in fact, we've been putting out a lot of videos showing what these pigeon shoots for what they are. And it's not even just the shoots. The shoots of themselves, of course, are unspeakably cruel. But then they don't eat these animals. These animals are piled up, dead and alive, to rot. The wounded, of which there are many, I'm talking maybe 20% of the hundreds or thousands of animals that can be shot at a single day, escape into the surrounding countryside. And that's it. One bird was just found just a couple few weeks ago from a shoot that had occurred a week earlier. Her leg had been blown off. Her wing had been shot, and she had shot in various parts of her body. And she hopped around on one leg trying to survive for a week. and she's not the only one. It's just that you don't find them all. You know, they're doing everything they can to survive. They're intelligent animals. They know how to hide. They know they can't. They sure as hell can't trust people. And yet, when we do capture some of them, and we do try to bring them back, and when they realize that you're trying to help them, you know, it's incredible, the almost instant transformation. And what we're talking about here, if they can get away with this in Pennsylvania, this profound injustice, and South Carolina too, by the way, Nikki Haley country. You ever hear Nikki Haley and about Nikki Haley wanting to go to higher office or something? They need to keep her in South Carolina. She can't get out because just as in Pennsylvania, we went down there in February. We filmed not the shoot itself because it was behind trees and everything. We put up an unmanned aircraft with a camera, a remote control, to capture some of the shoot. They shot it down, and the police won't do a thing. The police, in fact, were out there to harass and intimidate us and cite laws that didn't exist, all of course, of which we were videotaping and are now up on YouTube. And so we've been writing letters to not only the Colleton County Sheriff's Department, which is the local authority, but another organization that oversees all South Carolina police called the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, and Nikki Haley herself, to let them know what's going on, because this, the pigeon shoot, as in Pennsylvania, the pigeon shoot in South Carolina is illegal. What? Under current law, it's illegal. The attempts to pass another law in Pennsylvania is an attempt to pass an explicit law that cannot be ignored, the one that says pigeon shoots are illegal. But right now, it's illegal already. It's just that you've got these people, whether they're in the DA's office or the police or whatever, and they wear nice suits and nice uniforms and they talk real professional and they act like they got a brain, but all of a sudden you say pigeon shoots and Pennsylvania humane law, and all of a sudden they get all completely stupid. It's like, and they don't understand. When I talked to one of the people in the South Carolina, in the governor's office, and I said, look, here's the law. I read him the law. I says, how do you think that this doesn't apply to pigeon shoots? And he says, well, it's just never really been done that way. And I said, man, it's the English language. You either can read and understand it or you cannot. If you cannot, you're in the wrong job. But here's what it says. And well, you know, we haven't looked at it like that. I said, well, maybe you need to start. There was a time when you didn't look at a black person as a human being. Yeah, and they don't appreciate it when you get to the point. Because when you get to the point, they look bad, and they are bad. We're talking, I'm telling you, this is Matrix. I know that Americans walk around, oh, America's the greatest country, America, law and order, and all this. Bull. It's a bunch of bull. You can go to the rodeo, to the issue of rodeo. I'm working on a videotape right now where they, one after the other, animals aren't supposed to be shocked. They are shocked. They're shocked right in front of rodeo judges who are supposed to be the representatives of the entire association and rules, whether it's the way the animals are roped or animals being shocked or hiding the injury reports and the number of animals injured and killed. It's all bull. And I'm so tired. I'm sick to death, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans or whatever, you know, talking about this great country and blah, blah, blah. You know what? A country that treats animals like this ain't all that great.
Do you ever get in trouble because of your use of video cameras at rodeos?
Yeah, they try and intimidate us. The PRCA, a few years back, we had started putting up our YouTubes that were exposing rodeo for what it really is. And the PRCA filed a complaint against us claiming copyright on our videos. Mm-hmm. And we were fortunate enough to get an organization called the Electronic Freedom Foundation, the EFF, to file a lawsuit on our behalf because rodeo performances cannot be copyrighted. For any potential activists out there, rodeo performances cannot be copyrighted.
Well, isn't everybody else taping the show anyway on their phones and everything else?
Sure, sure.
So how can they single you out to ban your videos?
Well, they did, and fortunately, you know, and it's against the law to infringe on somebody's copyright. Fortunately, it's also against the law to falsely claim infringement on a copyright. And so they ended up having to pay $25,000 for that little arrogant mistake of theirs. And it's funny, the rodeo people, they almost always lose lawsuits because they are so arrogant, and they think they can do anything. I think it's all that time they spend in those dirt lots abusing animals. They thrash and bash the heck out of a calf, and they, you know, they break a horse's leg or whatever, and it makes them feel real powerful. And then they kind of live in their own little matrix. Well, they definitely live in a matrix, a little tube where they imagine that they're cowboys, and they imagine that they're big, strong American men and women. And then they get out into the real world, like when they got into that courtroom for falsely claiming copyright infringement, and they got their tails kicked. In fact, the EFF labeled that as one of the 10 most outrageous cases that they ever ran into.
Well, Steve, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your organization and where they can learn more about what the activities that you guys engage in?
Sure. Our main website is sharkonline.org. Probably the main website for Pennsylvania's pigeon shoots is pashame.com. And we have one called nracruelty.com, which is a fairly new site, which we're going to be expanding on a lot because we're now going to do a head-to-head battle with the NRA. Actually, it's going to be like more head-to-tail because their tails are going to be on the run. I'm serious. It's funny. Everybody's afraid of the NRA. Everybody's afraid of them. You got the legislators, you know, local government. Everybody's afraid of the NRA. And the NRA is afraid of us. There's no way they'll debate. And we have a standing challenge to debate the NRA. They will never, ever take it up. Boys out there, my hook and bullet buddies, that's what I'm telling you. Your NRA are a bunch of cowards who will not stand up to us. Prove us wrong, please. So we've got rodeocruelty.com, nracruelty.com, pashame.com. Those are three sites that would really get you into our main issues.
We've been talking with Steve Hendy, founder and president of SHARK, Showing Animals Respect and Kindness. Thank you so much, Steve, for being on the show today.
Thank you. I can't say thanks enough.
October is Vegetarian Awareness Month, and the Vegetarian Society of El Paso has a lot going on, including a vegan bake sale, cooking classes, yoga classes, and more. Check out our calendar of events at vsep.org.
And if you'd like to listen to some of the past shows of ACK Radio, you can find them at ktep.org. I'm Tom Lenny.
I'm Greg Lawson.
And I'm Liz Walsh. For the animals, the earth, and a healthier humanity, thanks for listening to Animal Concerns of Texas.
So off women are blessed with prosperity, the goodness and mercy of God they no longer see. They seem to say within, my soul take thy knee. They turn away from God to do just